Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Taj and Terrell Jackson. How are
Hello.
You guys?
Hey.
Nice voice, Taj.
Thank you. got a new mic.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I wasn't actually talking to you guys. I was talking to our listeners. We are live listeners on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening, thank you for joining us.
Why would you ask them how they're doing? They can't respond.
Yeah, they can. They can always respond. Later on in our show, we will be opening it up, taking a few questions via Twitter. If you have a question on the topic, which is a great one, you could send it to us at DDJ Foundation. That is the letters DDJ Foundation. Or if you're brave, what other adjectives can I use? You just feel like calling in. Make sure you call in at 323-203-0815.
Do that again.
Okay. If you want to call in with your comment or question, of course, on topic, you can call in at 323-203-0815.
Cool.
Awesome. How's everyone doing today?
Doing all right.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
Terrell, why do you sound softer, no?
Do I?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I turned you up a bit.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Real quick. So, Taj, we have something to go over before we get straight to our guests.
Yes.
Do you want to tackle that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't know how fast I can read.
So. All right. So, let's hear it, Taj.
Okay. Well, friends of David Strasia. David Strasia was our friend, our late friend that passed recently.
Yep.
And we had an episode about him and how great he was. Well, some of his friends decided to do a fundraiser on his behalf through You Caring, which is a website. And there's information, so I'm just going to read it. Because if I say it, I'm probably going to get some of it wrong.
Yep.
So
you will.
Yes. And I'm not the fastest reader, which is...
Okay.
So, why are you laughing at me?
Because you're funny.
Man. Okay, here we go. Great. This is going to be fun. The story. It's unfathomable that David Strasia is no longer with us. There are absolutely no words to express everything that David meant to so many of us. He was our friend, family, trusted confidant, accomplice, the person that never judged us and always showed up. Okay? To honor David's memory, we need to show up for his family. A group of friends have banded together to help raise funds to support his wife, Stephanie, and their two little girls, Evelyn and Lillian, during this immensely difficult time. Due to his condition, David was not able to secure a life insurance policy, so there is limited monies to sustain his family while they try to navigate through such unimaginable grief and beyond. On top of adjusting to life without David, Stephanie is due to give birth in 3 weeks. Although the addition of the new Strasia is an extremely joyous occasion, delivering a new baby without your significant other is heartbreaking. Despite David's absence, the expenses associated with supporting a family continue and will only increase as the girls age. Although there is nothing we can do to bring David back, his absence will leave a hole in our hearts. We would like to propose that we, David's friends and family, come together to provide some financial relief in an effort to ease the financial burdens that remain. So now ask yourself, what would David do? And that's what the name of the foundation,
nice.
What Would David Do? And so, well, we're going to put a link on our social media about it. But if you guys can do anything to help support David, he was extremely incredible giving and a wonderful person. And this is the least we can do. I mean, I know with us.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. But we would really appreciate it. I know his family would, too. So.
Well done.
Just wanted to say that and get that out there.
Thank you, Taj. It's very important. And just to piggyback on that, I've said it before on prior shows, but David's someone that I'll never forget. And, you know, that's something that I wish there was a way to clean up or figure out is, you know, because he was diagnosed with cancer even before, you know, many insurance companies probably wouldn't touch him, mm-hmm. which put his family in this situation, and it's not really fair to his wife. And I think, what does he have, two kids now and one on the way, right?
And one on the way.
So I wish there was a way that we as a country can figure that out, because it's a real problem. But in the meantime, like you said, Taj, we can help out, and make sure you post that link soon.
Okay.
All right. With that said, do you guys want to talk about your weeks, or should we anything? I should say it this way. Anything super exciting that's worth sharing?
Super exciting.
Because for me, I don't have anything.
Nah.
No? Okay. Taj?
Yeah, I'm going to pass there.
All right. All right. Without much further, what's the right way to say that? Without further ado?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think.
Okay. Without further ado, we should do the disclaimer. Go ahead.
You got to see.
We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. So, without much further ado, we have a special, special great guest today. We have two guests from Break the Cycle. We have representatives Tanji Reese and Jasmine Uribe. You know what's so cool, real quick? That's where sports helps. Because I've seen every name. You know what I mean?
That could be why I suffer.
Uribe, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's Jose Uribe. I got all the Uribes. Okay. So, first of all, thanks for coming, you guys. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to give you guys a brief introduction. Correct me if I'm wrong, if I miss any really cool achievements. Jasmine, you are Community Initiatives Director for Break the Cycle. You're a leader in the dating abuse prevention movement and serve as Community Initiative Director, as I just said, for Break the Cycle. With over 10 years of experience working with youth, you have successfully created and facilitated curricula for diverse audiences in traditional and non-traditional settings. You graduated from Cal State LA with a degree in child development, and you have a passion for education, program development, and youth leadership.
All true.
Awesome. I love that, by the way. Tanji?
Yeah.
Another community initiative coordinator. You are from Detroit.
Ding. Yes, I am.
You love music and writing, and prior to joining the Break the Cycle team, you served as the Director of Prevention Education at Turning Point in Michigan. In your role as a community initiatives coordinator, you manage activities related to Break the Cycle's youth movement. Let's Be Real. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like that name. You graduated from Grand Valley State University with a degree in behavioral science, and you are working on your Master's of Arts in Education, Leadership, and Change.
Right.
Nice. You have educated at various conferences, colleges, universities, and you are driven by the belief that everyone has a role in violence prevention.
Yes.
I'm going to start right there, if that's okay.
Okay.
Everyone has a role in violence prevention.
Yeah, everyone does.
What's everyone's role? What's the commoner's role?
So I believe that when movements start, it starts with little actions that we all do. And that could be just providing education and letting someone know about what a healthy relationship is. It could be raising awareness about dating abuse and how prevalent it is. It could be even just sharing stuff on social media. So with the work that we do with young people, we empower them to use whatever they have to be activists in the movement and to use whatever that they're into, be it art, music, writing, and use those things to help create that culture where everyone can have a healthy relationship.
Mm. Yeah. Jasmine, before we got on the air, we were talking about some statistics.
Yes.
Give me the statistic that, I'm a statistic kind of guy, give me the statistic that just jumps out of you that would shake our listener up.
Yeah, so regardless what role you have in your community, whether you're an adult, a parent, someone just walking by, the chances of you knowing someone who has experienced dating violence or domestic violence are really, really high. Mm. The statistic we commonly use is 1 in 3. So if you think about a young person in your life, 14, 15-year-old, you probably know 3 young people. And the reality is they're dealing with physical or sexual violence on a daily basis for some, but it's pretty, pretty common. And the fact is we're not talking about it. when we think of domestic violence, we think of older adult survivors and mostly women, and that is definitely true. But abuse starts early. There's a few statistics. If you think about some of our middle school students or our fifth graders, a lot of middle school students that were surveyed said that the abuse had started when they were around 11 or 12.
Wow.
So for me, that's really hard to think about, knowing that I have nephews and family members, and I used to work at an elementary school. But fourth or fifth grade, you know, when they start talking about boyfriends, even if it lasts for a day, they can definitely experience physical abuse.
Wow.
So it's not just physical, and we'll get to that. But if you're thinking about what you can do, it's recognize some of the signs, have these conversations, and put a name to that drama that we often see.
What are the multiple different types of abuse? Because a lot of times when we talk about domestic violence, I'm just thinking, and I'm guilty of that, I just think a lot of time it's physical violence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know if that's because of Hollywood and movies or just the general mindset of society. But there's many more types of violence, correct? Or many more types of abuse.
Yes, for sure. So I think the physical one is the easiest one to pay attention to because it's the most obvious. But we also need to remember that there's forms of abuse like verbal and emotional abuse, and that happens a lot. And now with technology, it has become easier, quote unquote, for bullying and harassment online to happen without anyone even noticing. So we say physical, verbal, emotional abuse,
sexual
abuse, digital or use of technologies, and there's a lot of stalking that can happen in person or online.
And I assume that's what's tough, is these online and digital stuff makes it hard for us to find, I guess, to see it. It's kind of more hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Stalking, I haven't heard that one. So explain that one. I think I know what stalking means, but I'm interested to know about stalking abuse.
Yeah, so basically when someone is trying to contact you, harass you, watch you, monitor your movements, that's unwanted. So this can happen in person. You can think about, I think of a few songs from the 80s and 90s where it's like, I'll be watching you wherever, every step you take, all of that.
Great songs.
Great songs. But if you break down the lyrics, it's like, wait, if I'm walking to school, you're going to be watching me. If I'm at this event and all of a sudden you show up, how did you find that out? Are you tracking me? And social media makes it easier, like I said. I don't want to keep using that word, but what we share online and with GPS, it's pretty, pretty common.
That's right.
And there are so many incidences of stalking that go unnoticed, or actually people don't get help because it's not something easy to track.
Well, I think it just seems very innocent often. Mm-hmm. So like, even like you were mentioning the police song, Every Breath You Take, it seems innocent. And I think as long as it stays innocent, it's not such a big thing. But I think oftentimes people utilize it and go further than they need to go and really stalk. Even if it's, I think once the other says, no, I'm okay, I don't, then it needs
to. They said, if it's unwanted, that's the threshold.
Yeah, because that's one thing. I'm not a young man anymore, but I am. I'm sorry for him, by the way. But I'm going to play the other side, because if I'm a 14-year-old, 15-year-old boy, and I'm thinking, well, how else do I court a young lady, or
how do I let her know that she's interested in me?
Yeah, or that I'm interested in her. But there is a proper way to do that. And I think the times have changed, where with digital and internet and social media, we have to do a better job teaching our kids the proper way to court someone.
And it's all about boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's why with our Let's Be Real youth movement, that I'll let Tanji share more about, we have these honest conversations about what are our boundaries. Mm. And when you are starting a relationship, what are your boundaries in your relationship?
Mm.
That conversation gets left out, and then you cross a boundary and you're uncomfortable, or you don't know how to talk about it. So boundaries are so important, and unwanted is the key in any of the types of abuse.
So do you guys advise the youth to pretty much lay out terms immediately?
So when we talk, like Jasmine mentioned, we talk a lot about boundaries, and when we mention that, we talk about what are some things that would make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable. And we don't just automatically say, like, hey, these are the boundaries you should have. We ask, like, how many phone calls a day or text messages are too much? Or how often do you need to see or talk to the person you're with? We also ask questions about rejection. Like, how do you let somebody down? Or how do you react if somebody lets you down? What are the steps you should take? So we ask a lot of open-ended questions and get their thoughts about it. And that way we're able to provide education around what they say. Unfortunately, we do hear a lot of stories about breaking up or folks that have been rejected and they have to take extra measures to make themselves feel safe after rejecting someone. Or, you know, they're like, I just tell the person I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and that's the way that they have to set a boundary. So more importantly, we teach about respect, like respecting other folks' space, making sure that we're aware of what's okay for us and what's not okay. And then once we enter a relationship, being able to express that freely and openly, because open communication is a part of having a healthy relationship. So you should be able to let the person know, this is good for me or this is not good for me.
Quick question. When you say youth, what is the age range that you're working with?
So we work with folks ages 12 to 24.
12 to 24. Yeah. And it's both male and female?
Yeah. Yep. We work with everyone. It doesn't matter race, sexuality. We work with all young people, because dating abuse doesn't have a limit. Yeah. It can affect everyone.
And what we discussed earlier, you guys do something that's really cool. I don't know if this is a common practice nowadays. Maybe I'm just out of the loop. But you guys have a number where youth can text and get support.
Right. So in partnership with the National Domestic Violence Hotline and loveisrespect.org, if you are a young person in need of help, you can text the number 22522. And the words you would put in that text is love is, but all smashed together. So L-O-V-E-I-S to the number 22522.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then you can also, like you said, chat at loveisrespect.org.
Yes. And if you want to do the traditional phone call, you can also reach out to someone that way at 866-331-9474.
And this is for youth.
Yes. And if you are an adult who has a young person in your life and you're trying to ask questions, or if you're in need as well, you can also contact those numbers and they'll direct you to the adult number.
What do you advise for us adult parents? If we feel or have the idea that our child may be suffering from some type of abuse, maybe emotional or physical or one of those types, what do you suggest us do as parents?
So that's a big question that we always get, and it's always hard to tell parents how to parent. But I know that the amount of stress that a parent or caring adult, right, is seeing when someone they love is going through dating abuse, it's hard, because the first thing you want to do is snatch them out of the relationship, put them in a box, and never let anyone ever talk to them again. But that's not the reality. So it's really about early on having the conversation about your boundaries. What do healthy relationships look like? For many of our young people, they're getting messages from social media, from TV, that sensationalize this idea of romance or violence that really isn't realistic. So if you are a parent, have some honest conversations. You know, are your friends going out? You're going to hear, no, mom, no, dad, I don't want to talk about that. But leave the door open. If you see that there's a change in mood swings, or that your child who used to love basketball and football all of a sudden doesn't want to go to practice, those are signs that they're withdrawing. And that isolation is something that happens in every domestic violence or dating violence situation, and goes unnoticed because teens are moody, or young people are just in a bad mood that day and don't want to talk to mom or dad. But that is a big sign that something bigger might be going on. I always say use music, use TV shows. It's why our Let's Be Real youth group really taps into music and the arts to communicate, because talking about something on TV is definitely easier than talking about something personal. Mm-hmm. But pick up on those warning signs, pick up on those cues.
What is Let's Be Real movement?
So, excuse me, Let's Be Real is our youth-led movement that we started in 2016. It was actually started by us and a group of young people. So We didn't have a name or anything like that. We asked them, if you were to start a movement to promote healthy relationships, what would you call it? And we had this great conversation, and that's how they came up with the name Let's Be Real, because they wanted something that promoted talking, something that promoted honesty, mm-hmm. and something that felt relevant for them. They picked the colors and everything, and through Let's Be Real, we do community building with young people and partners across the country. We provide leadership opportunities for them, and that leadership looks different for everybody. And then we also provide education, and that's through our Real Talks. So Real Talks are open, honest conversations about relationships.
And where does someone go to learn more about Let's Be Real?
So you can go to breakthecycle.org/letsbereal, and it gives all the information about what we do. It shows some projects on there, and even if you go to breakthecycle.org, like right when you get on the website, it just shows some of the activities. Like, for example, we just ended a t-shirt contest, and we asked them to draw a picture of what healthy me, healthy we means to them.
Healthy me, healthy we.
Yeah, that is actually our theme for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is in February.
Great.
Right.
That's great. Okay, and then, Charles, you got a question?
No, you can follow up question.
Okay, one question, since we are talking about youth. I want to know about the Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
What a cool idea.
That's like one of my favorite projects that we do. So every month we have a theme, and we usually base it off of whatever is happening in general. So sometimes for January, it was like around stalking. We had one around Pride in June. We've done some about breakups, and we have a group chat, and we'll ask them questions, or we'll send out an email. We say, send us songs that tell you about a breakup, or songs that display emotional abuse. And if someone picks a song, we ask them, well, what parts of the song makes you feel like it's emotional abuse? And so for them, it's like a fun way to share their music, because music is so universal. Like, it's the easiest way to connect with other people. So they have fun doing that and sharing the music that they love. But we also get to educate and talk about song lyrics and talk about what parts fit into this. So we do that every month. And you can find it on Spotify. It's Break the Cycle DV. We have playlists every month. They're really fun. I always put songs on there, too, because I love music. So it's a way for me to connect and hear new music that I haven't heard before, because usually I'm like, huh, that's a song that I never even thought about or heard before. So it's that for us is activism. That for us is raising awareness, because it seems like a small thing, but it's a collective that's coming together to put out something positive. So that's what we look at as being a part of the movement.
Well, I think you guys do a great job of that, because I think one of the things already I've taken is that as a parent, to utilize, if I'm shy or afraid to talk about certain things, I can utilize music and movies and TV to approach any kids about any issues. I think that's great.
I've got something. Well, one of the best ways for prevention is preparation and awareness. So you touched it, I think, a little bit about some of the signs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you hit them all. Can you discuss some of the signs and how you know?
Yeah, so I'll talk about a few common warning signs, and there are so many, and they develop. But one of the biggest one that I really like to talk about is extreme jealousy. So for many of us, and me included, I grew up with this idea of the more jealous somebody was, the more they loved you, or the more that they were mean, or you know, growing up being a young, maybe 5, 6, like, oh, he's picking on you because he likes you, like all of those negative messages. But that extreme jealousy is actually a very common warning sign. And it's not that being jealous makes you an abusive person, because we're all jealous. Like, let's be real. We can all be jealous. It's what you do with that jealousy. So when you use your jealous feelings that really come more from your own insecurities to control someone else, whether who they talk to, what they wear, that's a big warning sign. Another one is if your partner has an explosive temper or mood swing. Now, we understand everyone has emotions on a daily basis, and you can be mad one day. But if they're changing their mood, for example, hey, baby, you look really nice today. Oh, you look nice because you want other guys to look at you. Or, hey, you look so cute. Why do you look so cute? You want that girl in your class to stare at you? That is a sign that something is going on. The other one, the big one I was talking about, is isolation from family and friends. So yes, we know when we start new relationships, you want to spend all your time with that person. And that's a very common thing. And it can be healthy to get to know that person, but when you start sacrificing your own interests or time with your family and friends, that's also a way that an abusive partner can control and consume all of your time and really overpower that situation. So the dynamic of dating abuse is really about power and control. So if they're using their jealousy to isolate you, that's a big warning sign. Other warning signs that I think for parents, I mentioned a few, is they start dropping interest in activities. You see them always talking on their phone or texting, and it's like, I say talking on the phone because that's what we did, but now it's texting, and they're always upset or always angry, and there doesn't seem to be that happy moment. Like, check in with them. Or I encourage another trusted adult in your family to check in with them.
Yeah,
that's sometimes easier. Might be an aunt or uncle.
It's interesting because I'm trying to. I always try to think the opposite side. So, I'm a parent with several kids. But even if I'm not a parent, you know, you can look after your nephews or nieces like Taj has. Or if you're a teacher and your kids in the classroom or a coach, there's always, you know, I think we have to do a better job as a society, as everyone trying to help and to communicate and to, you know, try to promote and encourage our kids to be, you know, open, more open. Mm-hmm. So, okay, today we are here with Tanji Reese and Jasmine Uribe. I was just talking about
you gave yourself a pat on the back, and then this is what you're going to do?
From Break the Cycle, we're talking about domestic violence. And one thing we should say real quick is next month, February, is Teen Awareness?
Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Teen Dating Violence Awareness. I don't know why that's like a tongue twister to me, but that's...
Yeah, so for the month of February, all of the month, we focus on teen dating violence awareness. So as you know, for many of you, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but the adults take up most of that scene. So in February is really the time where people are already talking about love and Valentine's Day, so why not talk about healthy love and healthy relationships? So Teen DV Month is kind of the short version of Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, because it is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. but you can go on to breakthecycle.org/TeenDV Month and see a download a checklist of items that you can do to raise awareness. And it's super simple, like take a selfie with your hands and a heart, you know, post your favorite love song. The theme for the month is Healthy Me, Healthy We, like Tanji shared, and that was an idea that came from our Let's Be Real youth members. And the focus is to not always talk about, you know, the negative sides of relationship, but really how do you build yourself up to be have positivity and strength in your life, so when you enter a relationship, the we is healthy because you are healthy. We forget about ourselves a lot, and that's a big point that we try to educate. Like, don't sacrifice your happiness for the relationship. Think about healthy me so we can have a healthy we.
Now, is there a color or a theme or anything?
Yes, so the color for February for Teen DV Month is orange. So on February 13th, it's Wear Orange Day. So we're encouraging everyone to rock orange, bow tie, socks,
anyway,
pants, whatever way you have orange, to wear that color and to show solidarity for encouraging young people to have healthy relationships.
I have a question. With all the news and the current the wave of all the sexual harassment and sexual allegations that are going on, especially in Hollywood, have you guys seen any uptick in activity, or at least people being more brave to come out or speak up to you guys?
I will say, so with our Let's Be Real movement, because we are working with young people, and a lot of the young people we work with have either experienced some type of abuse or know someone that has, we have seen a lot of conversations with them. And for us, it's been great because it's a teaching moment. Even the thing like Harvey Weinstein came out the first time, the young people that we work with, we have a group chat. And someone came in and was like, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand what's going on. So it was awesome to be able to see other young people kind of educate them and let them know, like, what was happening in the media. And folks then started to talk more about what they could do on their campuses and what they could do in their communities to help raise awareness, too. So on our end, we see a lot of that and this conversations about what is happening, why it's important to talk about these things, but also... some people, you know, have experience, more than likely, you know, someone that has experienced some type of sexual violence, especially if it's a woman. So, with the young people that we work with, they're just now sometimes experiencing some of these for the first time, or they may have heard things but not sure. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's nice to be able to provide a safe space for learning so that they're able to get information that's honest and real for them, but also in a place with texting where they feel comfortable talking about it.
And I think having it be in the spotlight of Hollywood and all these, it's bringing attention to some of the realities that were happening every day for people that are not in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not like more people are coming and saying, oh, you know, I didn't know this happened. It's like, yes, finally, there's a platform to use it as a talking tool. And I know that even in my own family, we've had conversations about like, oh, wow, I remember being 13 and walking home from school and dealing with sexual harassment, mm-hmm. and brushing it off as something that normal just happened in good old East L.A. not that it only happens in East L.A., but where I'm from, you know, it's just something you would have to deal with. And now the message is you don't have to deal with this. This shouldn't be normal. And we've been talking about this for years, but this is the spotlight and the attention that it's getting, so let's use it as a tool. Mm-hmm. It's about breaking down some of those norms you really grow up with and thinking are just okay.
Cool. Okay, we're here with Jasmine and Tanji Reese. Jasmine Uribe and Tanji Reese. This is what I meant to say. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 323-203-0815. I've seen a couple phone calls come up. I didn't answer them. I apologize. I wasn't going to cut them off. Yeah, just call back and don't be afraid, like Taj is. Why are you so quiet today?
Huh?
He's taking it all in.
I'm listening.
Okay.
That's what you're supposed to do, listen.
Do you write, before we get more, actually, let me ask it this way. Do you recommend, if I have a child that hasn't been abused in any way, do you still recommend them maybe reaching out to you guys to learn more so that they can help others or even be prepared for like warning signs for themselves?
Yeah, that's exactly what primary prevention is. It's recognizing and addressing it before it starts. So it's getting that information. It's a lot easier to teach healthy relationship skills from the very beginning before anything happens as opposed to intervention. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the younger we teach, the better. The younger and the more we talk about healthy relationship practices, raise awareness that this does happen, that if this is your first crush and this person is calling you all the time and you don't like it, or if this person is harassing you or threatening you, then that's not okay. Mm. Or if this is the first relationship you're entering and this person is telling you you can't hang out with your friends, or they're trying to take up all your time, and those things aren't okay. But we want to let them know those things before they ever get into a relationship, so they're able to say like, hey, I remember hearing that this isn't supposed to happen. Yeah. I remember hearing that open communication is important, mm-hmm. and having my freedom and space is important. So, and if we think about it, the media does not always send those messages, and that's where a lot of young people get their messages from, is from the media. So a lot of what we do, and what honestly everyone can do, is to kind of counteract that and talk more about the positivity and what to expect in healthy relationships.
Mm. You guys have any?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, speaking up and speaking out isn't always the easiest thing to do. For someone that's going through this, what are some of the things that they go through and like as a resolution for this? How do they get over it? What do they do to get rid of the problem, basically?
Yeah, so it's definitely not, there's not an easy answer, and there's not one right answer for every situation. But I know the person who may be experiencing this is going through a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of blame, a lot of questions. And if you or anyone you know are experiencing any forms of abuse, know that it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. There is help. And even when it feels that there's no hope, there's someone ready and willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to talk about it for many of us. It takes years.
Mm-hmm.
It can take forever, and some people never get out of the relationship, and that's the reality. But know that you deserve to be in a relationship where you are happy, where you are loved, where it's healthy, where you're not afraid of the person, where they're not hurting you or belittling you. And just repeating those words or hearing those words might reach someone who's never heard that before. So if you are experiencing abuse, you know, and if you aren't ready to talk about it, just keep reminding yourself that there is hope and there is someone there ready to help you.
Did you have something?
Yeah, we have a couple Twitter questions.
Yeah. Great. He speaks. His mic works.
This is what my job is, by the way. Okay. I want to touch on something. Lots of men do not realize that they are being abused. And if they do, they are afraid to admit it due to society's definition of what masculinity is and what it's supposed to be. And their own securities of what it is to be a man. Do you guys, now this is my question on top of that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have different approaches for boys and girls in that way? And do you see that as well? Because this is a.
Whose question is
this?
That?
Is from Wisdom. Wisdom Matrix or Dominatrix? I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know because it's.
It's a great question.
Her handle is Wisdominatrix.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's like Wisdom Dominatrix, like combined. But yeah.
All right.
So, of course, from the time that we're little, we get these gender stereotypes, right? That we are taught that guys are supposed to be tough and strong, mm-hmm. and you're not supposed to be pushed around by a girl. You're supposed to be in charge. And girls a lot of times taught the opposite, to be passive and to be nice and sweet all the time. So that, unfortunately, those stereotypes and how they're constantly perpetuated can be harmful, and they can actually make people think that some things are okay when they're not. And I have talked to a lot of young men that have experienced abuse but don't know that they have. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I was talking to someone who said that, they were questioning, is it okay if I don't hang out with my friends as often? Or, every time I get back with my ex-girlfriend, she always, I don't like your friend, don't hang out with them. Mm-hmm. And for them, they're like, it's whatever, it's just whatever to make her happy. But they don't realize, that's not okay. Do you like hanging out with your friends? You know, mm-hmm. is playing video games something you actually enjoy? And do you think you should have that time for it? And a lot of times, those subtle forms of abuse happen to young men a lot. And they don't always recognize it as being abusive. So I don't necessarily teach young men any differently than I would teach a young woman.
Got it.
Because those subtle forms of abuse are real for everyone. I think for a lot of times, when I use examples like that, do you like hanging out with your friends? Or if someone's telling you that people can't like your pictures on Instagram and they can't write comments with hard eyes and stuff, if that person gets mad, if someone's constantly putting on there and now they're accusing you of cheating and telling you that you're a power and punk or whatever, if that all those things are happening, that is abusive. So I try to make any example that I use, I try to either make it gender neutral or I will be really specific about things that I've heard have happened, I've seen happen. So we do definitely keep those stereotypes in mind, but I think the examples are where we get that awareness is more clear for young men.
Right, and I think it's also about reframing what it means to have healthy masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your cultural factors, norms, wherever you got these messages from, it's about coming together, both young men, women, as allies, because we are in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We are in communities together. And I just wanted to share a statistic about it.
I love statistics.
And one of the studies we have here that we're referencing is 53.6% of men who have been physically or sexually abused or stalked by a dating partner first experienced this abuse at the between the ages of 11 all the way up to 24. So this is happening to our young men. It's not waiting until they are in college or when us as parents are ready for them to hook up and date. This is happening early. So yeah, it's all about having these conversations. What does healthy really look like for you?
Yeah. We have a phone call. Who's on the line with us today on The Power of Love?
Hi, guys. This is Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
I forgot you guys' name. I'm sorry, the guests that are on here, but I'm really enjoying what you're talking about. I do have a 17-year-old, and my question is, my problem was with the boy when he doesn't come in and talk to me, and she's always with his family. That's how it started. Now it's getting a little better. Is that also usually another sign?
So it's hard to say, I think, if it's a sign for sure, right? But the boundary that you set to make sure that the balance of family time is split between both families is a positive, healthy relationship factor that you could share. Mm-hmm. If you see that it's a complete withdrawal, you mentioned that it was getting better, so maybe she got the message that it needs to be equal. But it could be a sign if it becomes a pattern of isolation, for sure. But I think, you know, just talking about the importance of also getting to know him, just the same way she enjoys spending time with his family, you'd love to get to know him. And a lot of times, I think, for 17-year-old girls, I was always afraid of bringing boys around because I didn't want my mom to judge them and make me break up with them. But having that no judgment zone of just living in the same space together or hanging out is probably going to go a long way. So I'm not sure if she has those same worries, but it might just be that she's worried about some judgment, and just sharing that it's about a healthy balance of getting to know each other.
I think that's great, Jasmine. And to add, I just think, Meredith, as the parent, you just got to reassure your child that it's going to be a safe place for them to bring their friend over. Because I think a lot of kids, even when I go back to my youth, I try to protect my relationship, even though it may not have been necessary. You know, I just try to protect my relationship out of fear of mm-hmm. being, you know, accused of something or being judged. So we just, as parents, try your hardest to let them know that you're excited to meet them and share time with them. Because as a daughter, I really haven't had to go through this, but I mm-hmm. fear if my daughter spend all her time away from the house mm-hmm. and, you know, with another family. I just don't want to have to take that risk as a parent. So,
well, see, that's the problem. Maybe it is because I am very judgmental. When you're a single mom, it's a little harder with girls because they don't have that male mm-hmm. figure to show them, you know, what they need to see. So I am a little harder, and when the guys show signs and things that, like I said, you should first always come in and meet a parent. I think moms have that intuition, too, sometimes. When the guy is not the right guy, like me, I don't think he's the right guy. I just think, you know, that it's just, I don't know. But I just really wanted to compliment you, too. I think this is a great organization. I think it's well needed. I didn't see anything like this when I was in high school, but I really think this is definitely a great thing, and I wish you guys much success with it.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the phone call, Meredith, and thanks for always supporting.
No problem. Yeah, you guys take care.
You too. Take care. One more time, can you just say the website? I think it's a good time to say Break the Cycle.
BreakTheCycle.org is our website. So on there you can find information about dating abuse, statistics, and also you can find information about Let's Be Real, our youth-led movement. And we also have resources. Mm-hmm. So that's something that young people create with us. So sometimes the young people are creating the scenarios, and they might hear something or really attached to some type of healthy relationship practice, and they want to create a handout off of it. So on our website, breakthecycle.org, we have all those resources, videos, all of our social media on there too.
Another thing I wanted to add, thinking of Meredith and all the caring parents that really want to do good, we have an adult coalition or an adult space similar to Let's Be Real that's called Love Is Not Abuse. So if you go to our Break the Cycle page, you can go and find the Love Is Not Abuse Coalition. There's a separate Facebook private, not public, but private space for our Love Is Not Abuse Coalition members. And we talk about things like understanding the lingo and the dating terms. What does bae mean? It doesn't stand for bacon and eggs. It's before anyone else. And what is this hookup and Netflix and chill? So we really talk all about all these lingo, the terms that we hear from our Let's Be Real members to help bridge the gap between adults and youth. So again, any caring adult, any adult who wants to learn more, it's the Love Is Not Abuse Coalition, which you can find on our website, breakthecycle.org.
And before I get to my next point, I think we should also share your Instagram, because a lot of our listeners are social media supporters. That's the way, nice way to say it.
Users.
Thank you, Tara. Instagram, @breakthecycle. Twitter, @breakthecycleDV. Snapchat, @breakthecycleDV. And if you want to listen to those cool playlists, it's @breakthecycle. You could go on Spotify, and the handle is @breakthecycleDV. You could follow Break the Cycle there. Did you have something, Tara?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know we talk a lot about technology and social media, and I know it's just a new beast and animal, and it's moving so fast. It's definitely had to have its positive and negatives with this. Can you speak about some of that?
Yeah, so with social media, it makes it a lot easier for folks to isolate and for them to control. That's what that digital abuse comes in, mm-hmm. is telling a person who they can and cannot be friends with. It could even be demanding passwords. Like, I just had a conversation with someone yesterday that was saying they had a friend that their girlfriend said that they have to have all their passwords to social media. They were like, well, my friend said that they really didn't care, but I just think that that's a lot. Like, I think that's just a big invasion of privacy, which can be true, right. You know? Especially, like, I ask, why do you need to have the person's passwords, and for what is the purpose behind it? And they were just wondering, like, what they can do to tell their friend that. So that's something that we hear about and see about a lot. And also just, like, the features that social media have, like the location thing. I remember when Snapchat came out with you can have your location on, yeah. everything. You can see who people are. We, like, had to yeah. like, put out stuff like, hey, this is how you turn that off, because I know folks that have said, like, you know, they thought their partner was in one place, but they were in somewhere else, and then that's when the person tried to, like, came to where they were. So those things can be really unsafe. But I believe that social media also can be a really big benefit. Okay. We utilize social media a lot. Like, that is where we put a lot of stuff. Like Jasmine mentioned, on our Facebook pages, we put information that's relevant about dating abuse. We have a Snapchat show called Talk About It Tuesday, where every Tuesday we answer relationship questions. Right. They come in through an anonymous form, and people can ask whatever question they want to, and it's young people that are hosting the show, too. So it's not like it's us every week on there talking about it. So that's another way that we kind of fight back and use social media for good.
I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah. One more question real quick. I think it's great what you guys are doing. With the Break the Cycle, what do you think is, when working with the youth, what do you think overall is the biggest challenge?
I would say sometimes it's kind of getting to where young people are, and also bringing them to us. Like, it's that connecting with young people, and that's where our community partners really come in, because, like we mentioned, we're a national organization, and we have influences within our local communities, but we are, like, really trying to reach the rural areas like North Dakota. Like, we want to make sure that we're reaching all types of folks, and sometimes those resources aren't always available for them to kind of connect with us, or some people don't even know that we're existing. Mm-hmm. So that can be a difficult part, is that barrier that's there.
On top of the barrier, it's also just breaking down what has become normal for them for years, and building allyship with their friends. We know that when they ask anyone for relationship advice, they're going to their friends. Mm-hmm. So if their friend is right there saying, no, he loves you, he's jealous that, oh my gosh, I wish that I was with someone that was that jealous. We got to get the friends talking to each other about healthy things. So one of the biggest barriers is coming in to their space, understanding their lived realities, and creating that no judgment zone. Because anytime an adult or someone comes in who's not in their immediate circle, it's like, what are you trying to tell me to do? Mm-hmm. You just want to direct control what my in yeah. control. But it's not about that. So it's really about building allyship.
So we have a couple minutes left, and there's so many powerful stats and facts I want to just get out there. We've already said 1 in 3 young people experience physical or sexual violence by a dating partner. That's crazy already, mm-hmm. 1 in 3. But here are some other stats. Women 18 to 24 experience the highest rates of intimate partner violence. 1 in 10 high school students has been purposely hit, slapped, or physically hurt by a boyfriend or girlfriend. Among male high school students who have experienced sexual and physical abuse by a dating partner, more than 1 in 4 have seriously contemplated suicide, and almost as many have attempted suicide, because it can affect, obviously, their mental health. More than half of women, 70%, and men, 53%, who have been physically or sexually abused or stalked by a dating partner first experienced this abuse between the ages of 11 and 24, something you said earlier, Jasmine. And then high school students who have been hit, slapped, or physically hurt on purpose by their partner earn grades of C's and D's twice as often as earning grades of A's or B's. Obviously, it can affect their school. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, of the 8.5% of middle school students who report having bullied a classmate, nearly 1 in 5 have been a victim of dating abuse. It happens young. Mm-hmm. We are out of time. The phone is ringing, actually, but we are out of time. So I'm not going to cheat you guys, because every guest that comes in here, we usually give you guys 30 seconds to say whatever you want. You can promote Break the Cycle. You can reel off another stat, whatever it is. But if there's anything you guys want to say, now's the time.
So I just wanted to say again that February is Teen DV Month. So if you want to raise awareness in your community, we do have a checklist of things you can do. We have 28 things you can do throughout February. And don't forget that February 13th is Wear Orange Day for Love.
And last but not least, we've been talking a lot about teen violence and teen abuse. We have to also make sure we just say the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is 800-799-7233, and that's for anyone who's feels they need help. Thank you guys so much, Jasmine and Tanji, for coming on.
Yes.
BreakTheCycle.org. You can follow on Instagram at BreakTheCycle. You can follow on Twitter at BreakTheCycleDV, as in domestic violence. Snapchat at BreakTheCycleDV. And again, the Spotify playlist, one of the coolest things, at BreakTheCycleDV. But again, thank you guys for joining us. And do you guys have anything?
That was great.
No, just great. Thank you guys. And, yeah. And thank hopefully you. We'll reconnect.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.